Okay. Welcome. My name is Marco Russo. I will talk this afternoon about DAX, and this session is named Querying in DAX. We will see how to use DAX to create queries. And before starting, I want to introduce me, and then I want to ask a few questions about you. So first of all, I am BI expert or so-called consultant, and I wrote a few books about analysis services and Power Pivot, and these two products contains DAX as a formula language, as a language to define measures, and also as a language that can be used to create queries. And before starting, I would like to know a few information about you. So how many of you used MDX on a solution? So we have good knowledge about MDX, good. How many of you love MDX? You really love MDX, oh, nice. Me too. And how many of you understand cell-by-cell versus block mode evaluation in MDX? How can you love MDX and then, anyway. Nobody. So how many of you can write a medium complex MDX query in a text box without any help, any hint, anything? Good. Me too sometime. I try. How many of you understand the freeze statement in MDX? Nice. Okay, you have something to study this evening. How many of you believe that MDX is just too much complicated? Me too. Okay, so this is the initial starting point. Many of you know MDX, and when Analysis Services 2012 has been introduced with the tabular model, and Power Pivot has introduced a couple of years before, there was a need for another language, because fundamentally this technology is based on the same architecture of Analysis Services, even if the engine is different. But the reason for creating a new language, a completely different language than the one that we already know, MDX, that many of you know, is because there was the need of a language that better fit in a new data modeling system, which is the tabular one. And this model also required something that was simpler to use. And so DAX has been designed to be simple, to be fast. It is not necessarily easy. I mean, you can start very quickly writing DAX expressions, simple DAX expressions. As soon as you need to create more complex constructs in DAX, it is similar to SQL. You have basic constructs that are very simple, but as soon as you try to combine them, you see that something is a little bit more complicated. The evolution of DAX has been the following. In 2010, Power Pivot 2010 has been introduced in the market as an add-in, as a free add-in for Excel, and we had the first release also of DAX. DAX was available only to write DAX formulas for calculated columns and measures, so something that was part of the data model that you create in Power Pivot. With Analysis Services 2012, DAX has been extended to be able to receive queries. So DAX became a query language with a simple extension to the language that we will see very soon. And this also allowed to create constructs that was supposed not to be useful only to write a number in a pivot table, but to obtain a result, for example, for reporting services. And now we also have a few information from the SQL Server profiler about the query plans that DAX generates in order to solve the query. So this enables us to optimize the queries, but of course some knowledge is required about query plan and how DAX works internally. And so what we're going to do today is just to introduce DAX as a query language, look at how the syntax works, how to handle more complex filters, and we will try to take a quick look about the DAX query plan and some best practices that we can apply today in our formulas and in our query in order to optimize DAX. So this is more or less the agenda for the next 70 minutes. So first of all, let's take a look about the DAX query syntax. Fundamentally, you just have one more keyword in DAX, which is evaluate. Evaluate is a keyword that we put before any DAX expression that returns a table. And the table is materialized as the result of the query. And you obtain a data set like you would obtain a data set from a SQL query. So it seems very simple, and the syntax is the following. Fundamentally, we have evaluate. Evaluate can be followed by any table expression, and we have some optional parts of the syntax, for example, to sort the data in a particular sort order. It is very similar to SQL, fundamentally. So what I'm going to do now is to show you a few examples by using a demo. And the first point is, what we use to run a query. I mean, we can certainly create a query, a DAX query, for example, for reporting services or for your application. But when we want to write and test a query, which tools we can use? And the first tool that I can show you is the following, just a second, that I put here, and is fundamentally SQL Server Management Studio. When you connect to a SQL Server database, to an analysis services tabular database, you can see, for example, all the metadata of your model, like it was, not this database, this one, AdventureWorks, not as a tabular model, but as a multidimensional model, because SQL Server Management Studio has been designed to write MDX queries. And the metadata that you see are those of MDX. However, you can write here any DAX statement and it works. The problem is that you do not have any help from IntelliSense or from the object model that you see here, because if you drag and drop, for example, the name of the table here, you will see this syntax, which is the MDX syntax for the name of this dimension. Whereas if you want to look at the data from a single table, you just have to remove the square brackets that index identifies the name of a column. So fundamentally, if I want to see all the columns and all the rows from a table, like select star from table, we use evaluate followed by the name of the table. And as I said, I will not get any advantage from this user interface, except that I can just drag and drop this and then replace the square brackets with the single quotes, and I have to do other operation if I want to translate from MDX syntax to DAX. So if I highlight this part and execute this part, instead of executing an MDX query, I'm going to execute a DAX query, and I see the result here. So this is the first option I have. What if I say, well, I would like to have another tool that at least shows me the name of the table and the name of the columns in a more useful way? You have an option today, which is installing an add-in in Excel, which is called DAX Studio. As you see, it is installed here. If I open this add-in, I can connect to a local Power Pivot workbook of my Excel workbook or to a tabular server, so an instance of analysis services. If I do that, when I connect to analysis services, to analysis services, to the AdventureWorks database of analysis services, you can see here that the metadata are shown by showing the name of the tables, not the measure groups and dimensions, and I can also see, for every perspective, you can see different objects are highlighted or not, and also the name of the columns. Now, if I write evaluate here, and I drag and drop, for example, the currency table, and I click this button, I run the query. What happened when I run the query? I can choose where to put my result in an Excel table, because I started in Excel, in a grid, like in this case, or I can just run and validate my query, which means that the query is executed on the server, and here I can see the time spent on the server without moving the result down to the client, because in this way I just measure the time required to solve the query without considering the time to transfer the data to the client, which could be useful when you want to optimize a query. Now, the only reason why I'm not going to use DAX Studio during the session is because in the current version I cannot enlarge the font for this window. And so, because I will use many of queries that I already prepared in advance, here I can just zoom in a very easy way, and it is easier to you to read the query. But remember, DAX Studio is available on Codeplex. It's an open source project. I'm part of the team that is developing, and we hope to put much more features in the future. But you can download it and install it. It's free and is open source. So, evaluate name of the table is correspondent to select star from table. The syntax of evaluate allows me to add an order by clause. And if I do not specify order by, I cannot make any assumption about the sort order of the result. So by using order by, you can certainly get your data sorted in a particular way. Now, the syntax is very similar to SQL if you look at this result. What is the difference between SQL? I'm not specifying which columns I want to include in the result. I'm only specifying the columns that I want to use to sort my data. And the columns that you use to sort data has to be included in the result. Now, in this case, I'm getting all the columns from sales territory. But in general, you will see also with other queries that I always have to include the column also in the result. In SQL, you could sort by a column that is not visible in the result. We can also use a start at condition, which is not very useful if you use, for example, reporting services, but it could be useful if you write a web application in which you display the first 20, 25 rows of a query, then your user click next on the web page, and you have a new request for the same web page. So at that point, you could run the same query starting at the values that you had in the last row that you obtained. And so, for example, if I specify start at, I sort the data by group, so if I specify here North America, I will see the result by starting from North America. So I'm excluding the first rows in the alphabetical order for this column. So this is a seems a way to filter data, but in reality it is not, because the idea is that the query runs completely. We just jump at a particular point on the server. On the client are transferred only the rows that the client requests. So if you fetch only 20 rows, you will transfer only 20 rows on the wire, and you get the result. Now, what if you want to filter data? What if you want to apply the equivalent of a where condition to your query? We can go back to the slide 1 second and take a look at the syntax. So we have seen that we can use the order by, we can use a start at statement. We can use, for example, filter. Filter is an easy way to filter data because the syntax of filter is you pass two arguments. The first is a table, the second is a condition that has to be valid, has to be true for every row you want filter to return. So in this case, we see that we have two nested filters. So it's like having two conditions that we could have put in an end condition in a single filter statement, I know, but this is important for the next example in which I will use another approach. In this example, I'm using filter, the outer filter runs an iteration over the first argument. The first argument is a table expression, and this is another filter. So this inner filter is executed first. For any row in internet sales, the condition ship date greater than due date is evaluated, and only the rows that satisfy this condition are returned by the innermost filter. At that point, the outermost filter will iterate these remaining rows, and only on these rows will apply the second condition. But you are executing an iteration, and then you execute another iteration. You have two sequential operations, and the innermost function is executed first. It's pretty intuitive because any functional language works in this way. But the point is that this syntax, which is pretty simple, is usually the one that you should avoid. You should avoid using filter when you can, because there is another way to obtain better performance in analysis services tabular and in Power Pivot. And this syntax is calculate table. So when you think about, I want to filter my data in a table, I want to put a where condition in a set statement in SQL, the equivalent syntax is calculate table. Calculate table is like calculate in DAX, but instead of returning a scalar value, returns a table. So the argument that you pass as a first expression should be a table. In this case, directly a table. It could be another table expression, but in this case, it's a table. In this case, calculate table says, OK, I will return all the rows and the columns from cell territory, but applying the filter that I have in the second argument. So calculate and calculate table applies different filter context to the expression that you pass as the first argument. In this case, I'm saying I want to see only rows for United States. And I want to sort this data by territory country, which is completely useless in this case, but it is just to show an example. So if you execute this function, of course, you see the same result. You will see in the result only the rows for United States. But what is interesting? Think about what happens when you have two nested calculate tables. In this case, we had to think about the order of evaluation, which is not intuitive. In this case, we have a calculate table that applies a filter over sales territory country equal to United States, but there is another filter in the innermost calculate table, which is all sales territory country. So it seems that we have two conditions, one against each other. Who wins? The point is that the evaluation order is the following. Calculate and calculate table applies the filters before evaluating the first argument. So the second, third, and following arguments, which are the filter of any calculate function, are executed first. And then the first argument is evaluated in a different and modified filter context. The reason is, so if you consider the syntax, what is evaluated first? The outermost function is evaluated, and in this function, the first element to be evaluated is the filter, say territory country equal to United States. At this point, calculate table applies a filter to a table which is not executed. It simply changes the filter context. You can imagine the filter context as a set of bitmap indexes on your data model. So it is not filtering data, it is not iterating data, it is just putting a filter somewhere. Then the first argument is evaluated. And the first argument is another calculate table, which performs another modification to the filter context before evaluating an expression. And the second evaluation is all sales territory country. And this condition removes the previous filter for United States. When the sales territory is evaluated at this point, what happened? All the rows from sales territory country are returned. If I asked you the result of this calculate table and you do not have any experience about DAX, you would have said probably, oh, the result will be just United States. Because the intuitive way you read this expression is evaluating the innermost function first and then the outermost, and in the order is from the first argument and then the other. This is true for filter, is not true for calculate and calculate table. So remember, this is the only thing that could be difficult to understand. And for this reason, I spent 5 minutes just on this slide. Because this is a very important concept and is a pitfall that at the beginning is always trouble for many people learning DAX. So we see that a calculate table is the best way to filter data because it applies the filter over the data model, and only when evaluate is executed, iterating only once the table, the expression table, the filters are applied altogether in a quicker way. because of the calculation engine that I will show soon. But what if I want to change the columns of my result? Because we have seen how I can sort my rows, how I can filter my rows. What if I want to change the columns? Well, I can add columns to my to the result of my query by using add columns. So if I want to add another column to my internet sales table, I want to return a result that contains all the columns from the result, from the table internet sales, plus an additional column that is called margin and contains the difference between two other columns or measures. It depends. In this case, this is the syntax. So you can use add columns. You specify the first argument is always a table expression. It could be not the name of a table. It could be a calculate table. It could be any other expression in DAX that returns a table. And after this parameter, you can specify two arguments for each column you want to add. So the first of this twin of arguments is the name of the column, and the second is the expression, which corresponds to a calculated column expression, which is temporarily defined in this table just to be returned in the result. So the expression that you write there corresponds to an expression that is executed in a row context, because the calculated column is executed in a row context, so it's executed row by row for each row of the first argument, and the same happened here. So just to show an example, here I have, let me remove this for a moment, we may run this query, evaluate add columns, and we can add another column. As you see, I had to wait a few seconds in this case, and the reason is simple. I just ran a query that returned 60,000 rows, and the problem of the speed of this query is not about the time of execution, but is about the time required to move this data to the client displaying the data in this table. This grid is not particularly fast, but as you see here, I have my margin column here that in this case contains the difference between the sales amount and the total product cost. Of course, I could change this to margin percentage, or I could add another column like in this way, and in this case I add the division by something like that. So if I do that, I'm going to add two columns in this case. Missing comma here, and run again. So as you see, we still use the nested formulas, nested functions, because this is a functional language after all. It is just evaluated, it is a keyword before a table expression. Okay, as you see, my percentage here is a number, is a decimal number. And you will always see that the result of a DAX query contains data that is not formatted according to the format that you specify in the data model. And this is because, and this is true also for other measures and other columns. So your client, your application, should be aware of the right format to use, and it is in charge of the client to apply the correct format to the result. If you are used to MDX, in MDX you can obtain both the original number and the formatted expression that you define on the server. This information is not available in a DAX query. The client should ask to the server the metadata to use for formatting the column if it wants to apply the format defined on the data model. So DAX, from this point of view, is not rich as MDX in terms of information that provides from the data model defined on the server. What if we want to group data? We have a syntax that is called summarize. Summarize gets a table, gets one or more columns that will be used to group data by, and then you can add column with the same with a similar syntax to the one that we have seen for add columns, for the columns that you want to add to the result, and that contains data aggregated for the group of rows that have been grouped by the one or more columns that you specified. In this case, what I'm doing, select order date from internet sales, group by order date. In reality, in the select I have order date, comma, sum of sales amount. And the column sum of sales amount will be displayed as sales amount. So in SQL, I would have wrote a SQL query with a group by here to obtain the same result. And we can see here in our example that you can write this in this way. I'm going to show you a few variations about this very quickly. In this case, I have for each value of order date in the internet sales table, I have a value for sales amount. So in this case, I'm doing fundamentally a group by statement, like I said before. It is interesting that you may use here, for example, date. And in this case, what I'm doing, I'm getting not the column order date, but I'm getting the column date from the table date. Let me check if it is correct. Yes. And apparently the result is the same. But as you may imagine, it is not the same thing. In fact, at this point, instead of date, I could write year or calendar year. If I do that, my query is pretty much intuitive because I'm getting data for each year. I'm looking at the total of the sum of the rows in internet sales that correspond to that year. But if you think about the SQL query that corresponds to this query is another one. Is a select a calendar year from internet sales, inner join date on internet sales date equal to date, group by calendar year. So in this case, you have a query that is using the relationship in the data model to perform an operation that in SQL would be more verbose. So DAX sometimes makes use of implicit relationships contained in the data model in order to join tables. We can imagine that we are joining tables, in other words. So we can use this syntax, of course, for example, for getting also data from not only by year, but also by, for example, month here. And in this case, I get as a result the value of sales amount for each year, for each month. Now, in this case, if you are using reporting services, it makes sense that you will calculate the total per year and the grand total on reporting services. So usually in reporting services, we don't have the need to get intermediate subtotals. But if you need subtotals, you have a syntax that allows you to obtain them. And this syntax is rollup. With rollup, you obtain intermediate result. Let me do this for both columns. If I run this query in this way, I will obtain exactly the same rows as before, plus a few rows that you can see here. One row for each year with a blank for the month. This is the total for 2005, 6, 7, 8. And the last one, blank and blank for both year and month, is the grand total. If you need to get this result because your application will make use of this other additional rows, you can use rollup to obtain this result in a quick way. Now, let me go back to the slides. So the syntax is the source table is the first argument. Then you may have one or more columns that are the columns that will be grouped by. These columns can belong to other tables that are that have a relationship with the internet with the first argument with the first table. And then you can add one or more columns that will be added to the result with some sort of grouping. Some type of aggregation. In this case, the expression that you write here is not exactly the same as add columns, because in add columns, you execute an expression in a row context. You have a single row. Here, you define an expression that is executed in a filter context, in a context that is made by all the rows of the first table that have been grouped together in the same condition, in the same value for the same year or for the same order date. And so, the second part could be skipped. You may write, summarize, by just writing internet sales and order date, internet order date. And if you think about this, this is similar to group by, but is also similar to something else. For example, if I write here, summarize, and I put here month, I comment this part, what is this? Oh, sorry. Yes, no, this is good. What is this result? This result could be seen like a select calendar year month from internet sales group by calendar year month. Okay. But it could be also seen as select distinct calendar year month from internet sales. From internet sales, inner join data, blah, blah, blah. So in reality, when you do not add other columns, this is similar to a select distinct that always have the join condition between tables that you have because you are specifying columns from different tables. In fact, in this case, if you see, if I only include year, calendar year, what can I see here is that I have just 2005, 6, 7, 8. But it's interesting to see that if I write, evaluate all values from date, calendar, year, I can do an interesting discovery here because my calendar year contains more years, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have other 2 years. And these 2 years are displayed in this case and not in the summarize, because in the summarize, I'm performing an inner join with the internet sales table, an equivalent inner join with the internet sales table. And for this reason, I don't see all the years from date, but only the years in date table that have at least one transaction available in internet sales. For this reason, you have to think about an inner join, not a left join, if you want to make the comparison to SQL. Okay. We have seen the use of rollup, and this is just a slide to remember the syntax. Now, imagine that you want to see all the possible combination between two columns. If you use summarize, as we have seen, also in a single table, you will only obtain the values for which there are transactions. Imagine that you have a list of products, and you have a few products with a color and a size, other products with a color and a size. You may, if you look at the list of the colors and the list of the sizes, you may have a number of combination, but you may not have products for any combination. You may have combination of color and size that have no products at all. If for any reason you want to obtain in your result, in your query, also the rows for which there are no products, the combination between color and size for which you do not have any product, you can write this in this way. So cross join is a function that gets two tables and produce the Cartesian product between two set of rows with all the combination. In this case, the result of the cross join is a table that has only two columns and contains all the combination between these two columns. For each one, we go and add a column that counts how many rows exist in the product table using related table, because the table that we create in this way is like a virtual table that is related, that has a relationship with the original product table. For this reason, we can use a related table. So this is just an introduction to what are other set operations that are available in DAX. Unfortunately, we have cross join. We can use cross join not just with this thing, but with any table expression. So also with table expression with more columns. The problem is that in DAX we do not have union. We do not have intersect. We do not have except. So we miss a few important set functions that will solve a lot of common business problems that we can easily solve in SQL thanks to these functions. This lack of functions sometimes is a trouble, I have to say. And I hope that in a future release of DAX, we will see this function available for another usage. If you remember, the evaluate statement also contained an initial optional part that is define. The define statement allows you to create a measure that is local to the query. You can assign an expression, a DAX expression, to a measure that is just local for this query. It is similar to the MDX syntax with member, in which you define a calculated member or a calculated measure just for your query. You can, even if the measure that you write is not necessarily related to a table, you had to specify a table name when you define a measure because internally it has to know where this measure should be displayed in theory. But remember, a measure is global to the data model, and so when you reference the measure, you should avoid placing the name of the table. And for example, subcategory count is an example here where we do not specify the table name. But of course, if you specify also the table name, is not a problem. One important consideration is that creating local measures in a DAX query do not have a penalty for performance. And this is important because if you come from MDX, you should know that in MDX, it should be better avoiding creating local measures in an MDX query because of performance. Because the result of a local measure is not stored in cache in analysis services multidimensional. But in DAX, this does not happen, or better, in DAX we have a completely different behavior, and so we do not have to pay penalties for defining local measure, and we do not have bad performance. So we will see the same performance if this measure is defined here or if it is defined into the data model. And so this is an important thing. And of course, sorry, defining local measure is important if the same expression is going to be used multiple than once in your complete DAX query. It simplifies reading the formula also. And so this is just the recap of what I just said. In tabular, you do not have performance loss because you create local measures. You can start creating more complex queries. This is just an example that I don't want to spend too much time describing. In this example, we fundamentally have for each category of the product category table, we want to execute another subquery. So generate iterates the first argument, and for each row of the first argument executes a table. Execute a table expression in the second argument. In this case, the filter is executed for each category. In this way, the result of this query that I can show you quickly here is that we will see the top three products for each category. But the subquery that we want to execute in the filter returns a different set for every product category. So because we see three categories here, for each of these categories, the filter has been executed in a different context and has returned a different set of rows. This is a way that is similar to the cross apply that you have in SQL fundamentally. So the idea is that you can start combining DAX expression, creating more complex calculations. And of course, there are a few other functions in DAX that you can use to manipulate table, but we have already seen the most important ones up to this point. So what we have seen up to now, DAX is a query language, can be used as a query language. It's very simple. A query is nothing else than calling a function that returns a table, and you can use any DAX function in your query. You can use all the knowledge you may have of DAX, and you can also learn other things in DAX, and you can apply this knowledge into any DAX query. So assuming that now you can write a DAX query, we can see some trick about optimizing DAX. And so the idea is that why introducing DAX, we start talking about optimization? Because usually when you start writing in SQL, nobody the first day told you that you had to optimize SQL. In DAX is very important because DAX is used in a tabular model, usually. Now it can be used also for multidimensional, so there maybe we should have other consideration. But when you use DAX for querying a tabular model or a power pivot, the data model that you create do not have indexes, do not have much. You cannot do much in order to optimize a query, in order to optimize your data model. You can just try to compress to get a better compression rate. You can remove data that are useless. But fundamentally, when you start to query the data model, the only thing that you can do in order to improve the performance of your data model is writing a better DAX query. You do not have, once you see a query that is low, it's hard that you can obtain an advantage by creating an index or an aggregation, because you do not have neither indexes nor aggregations in tabular. So how can we try to optimize DAX? First of all, we have to understand what DAX does when you run a query. And so we can try to read the query plan. And the query plan is something that the analysis services provides you, even if not in a very good format. So when a DAX or an MDX query arrives to analysis services, it is evaluated and transformed into a query plan. And this query plan, especially when you work in memory, because when you work in direct query, the DAX query is converted into a SQL query. We are not interested in this case here. Let's consider only the in-memory mode. This query is transformed into a query plan, and the query plan generates one or more requests to the storage engine, which is the real engine, the real low-level engine. In reality, we have two engines, and this is similar to what you have in MDX and in analysis services multidimensional. We have the formula engine and we have the storage engine. The formula engine is still single-threaded by now, and it could be the bottleneck of your DAX queries, whereas the storage engine is the quick part of our engine. The internal name, the official name, the official marketing name of this engine is X-Velocity In-Memory Analytics Engine, but we call it Vertipack, also because the name of the events that we will intercept in the SQL profiler is Vertipack. So Vertipack is the internal code name of this engine, of this technology, and we will still see this name a lot of times. So when we want to optimize a query, we should try to move the workload from the formula engine to the storage engine. Sometime a calculation is performed into the formula engine. If we are able to change the DAX query in order to move the calculation down to the storage engine, performance will be better. So we can imagine that the expressivity you have in DAX is very complex, very rich. But as I say, the formula engine that can handle this complexity of your queries, in reality, has a limit. It's a single-threaded, but is designed to be able to consider complex form of queries. At the same time, Vertipack is an engine that is very quick, very fast. It can scale on a lot of cores. but at the same time it's very simple. The type of queries that you can do at that level are very, very, very simple. So if you want to make a comparison, the formula engine is like this guy, very rich, nice, well-dressed, and so on, whereas the VertiPack engine is something that do a simple thing very quick. Only one thing, but very quick. If you, someone of you saw Rain Man, understand the comparison. So this is the idea. So going on a more technical level, there is a DAX expression tree that is built when the query is parsed from by analysis services, and there is a first a logical query plan. The logical query plan is analyzed, and statistics are get from the data model, and the logical query plan generates a physical query plan, and the physical query plan produces the actual execution of the query, making requests, performing requests to the storage engine. How can we see this query plan? Fundamentally, we can use the SQL Server Profiler, and we can intercept a few events. And I'm going to show how to do that with SQL Server Profiler. Fundamentally, we have the ability to create a new trace, and connecting to analysis services, we can start from okay, I have my DAX query plan already ready to use, but I fundamentally start from a blank selection of events, and here I'm going to say that I want to use, I want to include the DAX query plan, I want to include the VertiPack storage engine, SE, main storage engine, query begin, cache match, query end, and maybe I can also include query begin, I will say here, query see when, query begin, and query end. So these are the events that I would like to include. Anyway, I already included this in the slides and also in the session that is already active here. So I just run my session, and now I'm able to intercept these events. Now, when you run a query, for example, let's start with a very simple query, this one. You can see here the query plan has been intercepted and executed. As you see, we have several events here. The DAX query plan has two types, the logical query plan and the physical query plan. After the logical query plan, you can see VertiPack request, like query begin and query end. Query end also contains a few information about the time. Now, probably this is very quick, so we have zero. We have elapsed time equal to zero, but the duration here will contain the number of milliseconds that have been required in order to solve this specific request to the VertiPack storage engine. Now, let's take a look at what is included in the information that we can read. So, our query is this one, and we see evaluate sales territory. Okay, nice. This is the DAX query we wrote. Then we have the DAX query plan, and we have this strange line here. I will talk more about this later. Then we have a few requests here. Oh, this seems SQL, select from, nice. And then we have another query plan. This time we have more rows and other information with some number of records, a number of fields, and so on. So this information is not necessarily easy to read, but at least it's something. And we can start working on that. Let me go to the slide one moment. In a future release of DAX Studio, in reality we already have a prototype, but it is not released by now, we fundamentally intercept these events from the SQL Server Profiler. We remove some information from the text that you have seen that is not so, that are not so useful for the end user, like for example some global unique identifiers that we really don't need when we read this information, and this, even if this is still not so easy to read, it is much simpler than the raw data that you see in the profiler. Another evolution that we would like to do is transforming this query plan into a graph of nodes. But of course, this will require time. It is something that we hope that Microsoft will do. But in the meantime, Duck Studio is an open source project. So if someone of you want to spend some time helping us, we are happy to get any help. So let's try to understand how this works. So in this case, I get a query, which is not the simple one that you have seen before. And this query fundamentally runs a summarized statement that gets for each province the total of sales amount in internet sales only for a particular customer. So the filter that you see here that could be could have been written in a simpler way by fundamentally writing only customer last name equal to NN instead of writing the entire filter, but this is just a little detail. Fundamentally, this is a summarized executed inside a calculate table that applies a where condition. So it's a group by in a where condition. So what happens if we write this query and we monitor this query? So let's take a look at the example that I have prepared here. So this is the query that you have seen in the slide before. Now I go here, I cancel this previous session, and I run my query again. Now I have to select the right one, run this query, and now I go to my profiler here. So let's ignore the first three rows. As you see, we have, again, we have a query here, received in this point. But as you see, this time, the Vertipack logical query plan appears after a few Vertipack storage engine query. What is the reason? If you know, a query engine need to know some statistics about data. And in order to get statistics about data, the query plan requests, the query engine requests the data from the storage engine. So we do not have statistics. We have actually storage engine queries just to know how many rows we have, how many distinct values we have for this column. There are queries running for that. Because the engine is so fast that it is faster to run the query at the storage engine level that getting statistics and updating statistics. So just to imagine what is happening. So we have a few information here. This time, as you see, we have also the syntax that you see for the Vertipack storage engine queries is a SQL select statement, which is not a real language that you have. This is just a way to represent this query that internally is an object graph, is represented in a textual format understandable for we humans. And so they used a syntax that resembles SQL, but this syntax does not exist. This query, you cannot run this query in a textual way. It is just a way to represent an internal object tree. So as you see, there are a lot of strange names here, like this global unique identifier. And so in order to simplify the visualization, we have a few slides that fundamentally try to recap what happened, what happens in this query. So we have this Vertipack query that gets the data, the list of customer keys from the customer table where the last name is equal to an end. In a previous version of analysis services, there was just the key of an end. In this case, in the current version, the last version, instead of 81, you see actually the an end string. So the storage engine query displays a more meaningful name that you apply to the filter. The second query, in this case, performed the joins between province code, between internet sales customer and geography. And now you may be scared about this. Customer key in and you see a list of numbers. If you think about SQL, syntax like that in SQL would be absolutely slow. In reality, this is an internal representation, this is the textual representation of an internal bitmap index that is executed very quickly. This list has been produced by the previous formula, by the previous query, and so we have many customers with the same last name, and this is the list of these customers. But in reality, the transfer of this information in the engine is very quick. You do not have to think that there is an in statement like that. So the logical query plan is something like that. We have this Vertipack names indicates us that this operation will be executed into the storage engine. So they will be quick operation. Whereas the other operation before could be executed in the formula engine, could be slower. If you compare the query plan to the original, the logical query plan, to the original DAX query, you can see that there is some similarity, there is some correspondence. We have group by, we have sum, we have scan, and so this part is summarized. Then we have add columns, because summarize fundamentally do an add column to add the sales column, and this is another operation. And we also have the filter that applies the filter over last name equal to an end. After the logical query plan has been executed, the other Vertipack storage engine query runs. So the first two queries that we have seen were just statistics, were just something in order to prepare the logical query plan. And now the actual query plan is executed, and this time you can see more joins, more where condition, and so on. Because in this case, we have the list of provis that have to be displayed. And sometimes you can see some query that seems very similar to the previous one. But if you look at the events, you will see that many of these queries that are repeated are also answered by the internal storage engine cache. So they are very quick. They do not scan the entire table every time. This is the point. So with a simple query plan, with a simple query, we had four Vertipack queries, two before the execution and two during the execution. Usually, this is an example of a very good query plan. It is usually very quick. And just the last join is performed by the formula engine, spooling the result, which are the list of province code and the values that we want to display are joined by the formula engine using a materialization of an intermediate result. Now, talking about what is the right way to analyze each point of the query plan is a long discussion, very long. And to tell the truth, today we still don't have the knowledge about all the operations performed by the query plan. But we can start reading it. So instead of trying today to provide you an information that we still don't have so clear, I'm trying to transfer you some information about a few useful patterns that you can apply to DAX queries, even if you do not look at the query plan, in order to optimize the performance of your queries. And the first one is a very important one, even if it is very counterintuitive. If you have summarize, when you see summarize, you can think that you can write the same query in another way by writing add columns that contain summarize and then add products, and then add the other column. You may think that because it is a single function, the summarized version is fastest. And we thought the same a couple of years ago. But in reality, today, if you write a summarize without adding any column and performing all the new columns operation into an add columns that contains an embedded summarize, usually performance are better. So it is better to write the more verbose expression that at first sight could be slower. I expected in the future this difference will no longer exist, because fundamentally the query optimizer should be able to generate the same query plan for these two expressions. However, this is what we need to do. Summarize is required. You have to write the expression in a new column inside summarize just in a few particular conditions. For example, if you want to write a top N for each product category name. So, for example, you want to get the total of the sales for the top 10 products for each category. In that case, you will not be able to do the same in products, especially if you have more complex filters active. Here you can see a link to an article that describes this optimization in more details. But fundamentally, the idea is very simple. When you use summarize, just use summarize like a select distinct, not as a select group and as a select with the group by. This is the point. It's strange, it will change, but today this is the Question, sorry? This is a question for the development team. I try to understand. We had a discussion, but fundamentally it's not... I think that the reason is that the query optimizer today do not generate necessarily the most optimized plan. I don't have I mean, we discussed this a little bit, but I don't have a good answer to you today. And we don't have people from the development team at the conference, unfortunately. I tried to repeat the question, but I don't. Can you repeat me the sense of the question?
In previous slides, you have shown steps how the query is evaluated.
Yes.
And you explained that there are different levels.
Okay. Okay. Yes. 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 Okay. Yes.
So in which phase it you know, during the evaluation and
okay.
The query plan gets to have the conversion.
Okay. I try to recap. The question is about fundamentally at which level the query plan should be optimized or why this doesn't work at the right level or something like that.
Yeah, let's say if you examine the query plan for the first and for the second, then you start to see the difference.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. Okay. If fundamentally, it is not just a query, it is a consideration. If we compare the two query plans, we can see the differences, and this is absolutely true. In fact, this is what we do when we see differences in performance between different queries, with different DAX queries that returns the same result. Oftentimes we see differences, and for example, we in these days we are working on a case that is really strange because we found a way of optimizing a complex calculation for time-related calculation, which is much faster with a syntax that apparently is much slower. If you want to take a look at the blog from Chris Webb, he show a way to solve a classical problem, a time-related problem, which has a solution. It is much faster, but if you look at the query plan, and also the query plan seems slower, but the execution times are much better, and we don't know. So we it is an area where we do not have so much experience. It is still a new language, a new query engine, no documentation by now, so we are trying to explain what is happening. So talking about patterns that we can follow, another example is this one, currency conversion. If you have two nested sumx, you have a sumx for each row of DIM currency, you apply another sumx for each row in DIM date, you apply this calculus statement. The idea is that for each date and for each currency, we have a different exchange rate. Now, the problem is that if you write two nested sumx statements, the problem of this approach is that only one part of the calculation goes down to the storage engine. Only the internal sumx. But the outer sumx is running in the formula engine. So fundamentally, we have the formula engine that makes a call to the storage engine for each currency. But if we move this into this syntax, which apparently could seem strange, we fundamentally cross-join currency and date. We iterate only once all the combination between currency and date. Then the internal calculate is executed in a single operation in the storage engine. So this is just to illustrate that sometime you have to avoid... The idea is that you have to avoid nested loops. Again, in theory, this could be optimized by the query engine. But today... the best approach is trying to perform a single, even if large, a single list of cases that you want to evaluate, and then performing the calculation in a single loop. This is much easier for the query engine to be optimized in a single request to the storage engine. And you reduce the round trip between the formula engine and the storage engine doing that. Okay. other consideration are this. This consideration could be shown by looking at the query plan, but I can grant you that without a visualization in a graphical way, it is very hard to spend time explaining that. So if you want to look at the differences at home, okay, and but it's a long process. So I'm trying just to provide you some of the results of the study that we did until now on these query plans. Another thing that could be important, try to avoid performing a calculation that could be avoided. For example, if you have a filter, in this case, the filter is applied after the add columns has been executed. But add columns generates for each row of the internal cross join a value for each measure. So sales, year to date, and quarter to date. Now, sales is usually quick, but year to date and quarter to date are two measures that extend the range of dates and requires more time to be executed. So if you know that for a particular month you do not have any sale, it is useless that you run year to date and quarter to date. So the idea is that if you can anticipate the filter, it is better. Usually, if you're used to SQL, SQL is much more advanced as a query optimizer and usually do this automatically. In DAX, oftentimes you have to rewrite this in this way, moving the condition of the filter before the two measures that are expensive. So in this case, the filter is applied after the two measures have been evaluated. But we can rewrite this by applying the filter just after the cross join. Even if we evaluate sales two times in this case, because you see sales is evaluated into the filter and then is evaluated into the formula. Even in this condition, it is faster than the query that you have seen before. So again, sometimes it is better if you anticipate. In this case, you may think, Marco, you say that we should not use filter. This is true. But in this case, I'm using a measure. I'm filtering by the result of a measure, not of a column. So when you filter by the result of a measure, you cannot use calculate, you have to use filter. And so in this case, we need to use filter, so we try to do this as soon as possible. And the difference is 7 times faster if you have a large data set of data. So the general rules are, you should try to use the simplest formula. You should try to prefer add columns to summarize when you want to add columns to your result. You should avoid complex calculation in measure, and if you have this calculation, do this calculation for the lowest number of rows, just at the end of your evaluation. Don't compute something too early, just because then it will be discharged. You imagine you have a much more primitive SQL query engine that requires more help to find the shortest path to perform a good computation. So the most important thing is trying, when you write the query, trying to push down the query, much of the work, down to the VertiPack engine. This is hard to do, I know, but because the query plan does not explain you in a clear way, here you have a problem. You have to do some, you have to be confident with that, and today we still don't have much documentation. We are going to publish in the next, I hope in the next few days, if not a couple of weeks. Alberto is writing a short white paper about how to read the query plan with some more detail about the single nodes and the single operation that are performed. But again, I think that we need much more time and experience in order to complete all the possible cases and scenarios. Let me check, okay. And fundamentally, remember that a good optimization of the data model is always the best thing that you can do. So if you reduce the memory for your data model, if you reduce the number of distinct values that you have in the columns of your data model, it is always better. Because in this way, you will not waste your time iterating on longer columns. This is the best thing to do, is always a best practices, and improves any DAX query that you run after that. So DAX is a simple language. Fundamentally, you have very simple constructs to use. You have to learn DAX, you have to learn calculate, calculate table, and all the functions that you have in DAX. Today we have seen evaluate, and we have spent time on a few functions that are not usually used in DAX formulas, like summarize and add columns, for example, and also cross-join, probably. The only way to optimize a tabular or vertipack is optimizing DAX, because you do not have many ways. When you have a slow query, don't think to optimize this by rewriting the data model. This could be true if you can reduce the data, the number of distinct count, but considering the rows that you are evaluating, usually the best thing you can do is trying to write the query in a different way, trying to reduce the number of iteration that you perform, operating on columns instead of tables, because in this way the iteration, especially for the filter, which is usually the bottleneck filter, is always dangerous when you filter over a fact table, for example. It is better to filter over a single dimension, or better, on a single column of a dimension, because the number of distinct values that you will iterate is smaller. Sometime you may have to change the data model. Sometime you realize that the data model that you have has to be changed in order to allow you to perform some optimization. And changing the data model could mean removing relationships, removing tables, having a schema that is similar, more similar to a star schema than to a snowflake schema. Denormalizing usually improves the performance. Do not increase you improve the performance and you reduce the execution time, whereas complete normalization usually produce bad performance, because relationship have a cost. Every time you have a join, it is quick, but every join has a cost. Has a cost in memory and has a cost of scan time. So the star schema is the good balance. If you have the star schema as a reference model for a tabular, you are in a good position also for the performance. So DAX is simple, it's not easy, as always, but fundamentally is also a fun part for this. You will have a few resources. As you have seen, I have a link and there are other articles on sqlbi.com, which is the website in which on which I and Alberto write articles. And I don't remember if there are also other sessions related to DAX. I think there are no other sessions. In fact, I don't have any slide for here. Remember to evaluate this session. This is the QR code. If you want to evaluate just now, you can do that. Thank you for attending. We have a couple of minutes if you have questions. Thank you.